I'm all about second chances. I'm a man that I've learned to forgive over time, not to hold on to grudges. Sometimes you get to a point where you just cannot rationalize doing it anymore. Today I decided to, have some forgiveness in my heart. I went out to do some errands, and then on the way back, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna give you a try. I stopped by a former lover of mine's place, and let's just say I wanted some double patty melts. And so I go to Burger King, and let's just say I'm not an underground king. I was underground. I was basically invisible. Yeah, this is how you know business operations are just completely useless these days. Like, everything has gone downhill. Based off my experience, I genuinely think businesses don't give a fuck about Sundays. Sundays are, you know what? The more and more, it's not even religious. I respect Chick-fil-A because they're like, you know what? On Sunday, you're not getting our full focus. You're going to get the 6 days of the most intense, consistent service out there. But Sundays, nah. That's a you problem. And you see what happens? You go anywhere else on Sunday. Nothing good ever happens on Sunday when you go out. You go out to eat, you try to go to a grocery store, you pick up some food, everything's either delayed, understaffed. Every place is understaffed, you know? And it wasn't their fault. I go inside of a Burger King. I'm like, you know what? I just want something quick to eat, nothing crazy. I haven't had Burger King in quite a while. I was gonna get two of their melts, those $5 melts in like a wrap or some shit. Not really that important. Well, I guess it kind of is important because I always go inside. I'm a front counter type of guy because I want to see if I can get the discount in personal interactions. Doesn't matter when they're 20 sandwiches backed up. So I go front counter. The lady that, the girl who's like, clicking the screen to, keep up with the orders, make sure orders are going out. Basically, the person's bagging stuff up. She turns to me. She said, "Is your order gonna be big?" And I'm like, my head, I'm like, "Well, I'm a big guy," but no, it's not. And I explain her, it's just gonna be blah blah blah. And she's like, "Yeah, we're like 20 sandwiches backed up." And in my head, I'm like, well, I guess you better give them an extra set of hands back there because I'm gonna wait here and order this shit. I'm determined. I was like, I don't have time today, but I'm not gonna let you dictate to me what I'm gonna eat today. I am gonna get Burger King. If I have to wait 10 to 15 minutes, fine. So be it. I was like, by all means, no problem. I said, don't worry, take your time. That's the worst thing you could say is take your time to anyone. Which, by the way, 10-year anniversary of Montevallo. If you know, you know. TYT, the young Turkesterone. Hey, Greg Doucette, give a shout out to me. But no, it was, so I'm sitting there waiting the order, and there's a couple people inside. Like, there's this family. She comes up there. She wasn't impatient, but she came up with a receipt. Like, damn, they've been waiting a while. The drive-thru didn't look crazy. And I heard her say, "Yeah, we're 20 sandwiches back, and we only have one person making it." Now I look around. It was one person registered, her getting everything or taking orders, and this one dude making food. And I'm just like, to these businesses, you really think on a weekend, one person doing everything? Yeah, trust me. I don't know if you know, but this man was basically running 30. this man was back there making 20 sandwiches. Like, yeah. Running 30, man. I can't get too specific of what that means, but 30 for 30. Because one day there'll be a documentary about me about something. But, and you ever look back? And you're like, this dude is not speeding up nothing. Like, you look, I'm like, this dude is, he's not exactly rushing it. I'm not mad at him. I'm like, Yep, this 20 sandwich is backed up. It's going to stay 20 for a while. but near and near there, the lady's up there, and she's trying to get an update on her order. Like, hey, I have order, I think it was 66 or something. And she turns around, and I see the look on this employee's face that, oh, shit, I fucked up. Because literally a few minutes before that, there was some other guy that came up there, grabbed an order of food, and she handed this one guy a family of five's food. And she goes back and says, I need a remake. And they said, on what? The whole order. And at that point, I was like, you know what? As determined I was 4 minutes prior that I was going to eat Burger King today, today proves some things don't deserve second chances. You know, I really feel like I feel like one of those real housewife husbands, you know, like the Ray J's, or, you know, who's that? Who was that couple? God damn it, I can't think of it. But like, bro, like every week it was always some bullshit. But yeah, that's what I feel like. You know, no matter how many times, you know, I try to have hope for you, I try to think, you know, maybe we just need some time apart. You know, maybe it's just, you know, you need to run through a couple of people and, you know, appreciate me. You know, that's what me and Burger King's relationship's like, you know. But yeah. Welcome to episode 313 of the Off and Be podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most poor ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah, recording this on December 22nd at 6:21 p.m. Eastern for the archives. It is the holidays, you know. It's the holidays. I didn't know, you know, these commercials, they're really, like, I understand there's got to be a corporate, like, general, like, we got to be safe, we can't say Merry Christmas. I've always found that stuff weird. When they go out of their way to say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas, when you have all the Christmas festivities, you can't sit here, imitate the fantasy land of Santa, Mrs. Claus, reindeers and stuff, and be like, yeah, we can't say Merry Christmas. But, you know, I saw the Walgreens commercial, like, oh, my husband only works once a year. And the cashier is like, oh, you lucky gal. Like, first of all, let me just speak for 98% of women. If their husband only worked one day a year, even if the money's fantastic, you know, regardless of the money, being at home with someone for 364 days a year, whew. Now that's a task, you know. Maybe jobs were just created just so people can be sane, you know. Would marriages actually be sustainable? Would relationships, would the balance of a day be sustainable? There weren't jobs to separate people, to make people appreciate each other. But no, this commercial, it's crazy to me. I'm saying, like, it's so stupid. Like, this is obviously Mrs. Claus at Walgreens, probably getting a Plan B, which I don't know. I doubt she's infertile, but maybe all the elves are just all their kids, and it's really just child slave labor. I don't know. Just putting that out there. They kind of live in a secluded place. There's no checks and balances, no government official. It's just Santa and Mrs. Claus. What are they doing the whole year? Just saying. But we can't say Merry Christmas in a pharmacy commercial. But, you know, they can overprescribe opioids and all that good shit. But apparently saying Merry Christmas is crossing the line. oh, Jesus. But, yeah. God, I want to, you know, I just want to take some steroids, you know. Not really. But, you know, I have thought about how cool it would be. I'm not taking it. I don't want to. But TRT, I'm not saying it's great. What I am saying, it would be great. Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, with these fitness influencers, you know, there's a lot of backlash out there for promoting steroids type of thing. And the issue with some is that they said beforehand that they would never take, they think it's terrible, it's a wrong message, and they care about the youth. And now, 3 months on TRT, let's check my deadlift, you know, PR. And so, obviously, I'm talking about Alex Eubank. For the fitness, you know, I don't really watch fitness influencer content. I used to a little bit. There's only very few I'll, you know, catch some new videos and stuff. But for the most part, you know, it's kind of played out, I think, for the most part. Like, in terms of watching, being involved in a personality of someone, I think it's kind of played out. You know, nowadays, it's like, it went from the appeal being, you know, regular guys that worked out, had great physiques, and they were just everyday guys who, you know, younger, had a regular life. They weren't IFBB pros. They weren't pro bodybuilders. But I think doing that, it's developed some that have that bodybuilder going pro mindset, because they're like, you know, if I'm already this far and I'm doing it all day, why not really take the extra mile and go pro? And, you know, sometimes people realize going pro is a whole different thing, my friend. And but also the pressure social media wise is real. And I think there's more and more of people becoming like idolized with, you know, the Chris Bumsteads or the Noel Dyzel. That's probably not the best comparison because I don't even think he actively competes. But it's really like the fame that bodybuilding has gotten to. Like the Derek Lunsford, the Nick Walkers, like these just crazy, unnatural looking physiques. But we know it's not naturally obtainable, but there's a motivating aspect to be like, damn, the human body can really accomplish some amazing things, even with some assistance. And, but when your job is to revolves around and you see the direct analytics or you feel the lack of engagement, and that engagement is vital to you being able to sustain an income, selling merch and all this shit, like you're probably going to rationalize some of your morals to maintain a business model. And one thing I will defend, there's a lot of backlash towards Alex Eubank about this shit, about him going back in his words saying he would never do X, Y, and Z. But when your income, sometimes to make an income, you rationalize some shady shit. You rationalize doing things that you wouldn't morally do in your own time, but in a work environment, you just, or for work purposes, you're just like, you know what? That ain't my problem. And I know because it's like your direct business, you're entrepreneurial, you know, but the reality is if you work a job and it's paying you well, and you see some favoritism in a workplace, or you see, like, I'm not talking about the real serious shit, even though that gets thrown to the side too. But, you know, these are the same people that would see the wildest shit, the wildest HR violations in a workplace, and then go online and complain about someone going back on their word saying they would never do X, Y, and Z, and then they end up doing it. Because we are all hypocrites, you know? Like, I have a lot of morals. Like, I would never, you know, make a woman purposely feel uncomfortable. I would never, you know, be violent. I would never purposely make someone fear coming to work. I wouldn't, there's a lot of things I wouldn't purposely do. But I've seen all the time in places I've worked at, you see people in positions of power, or you usually see, you know, people with enough of a position of power try to use their position as leverage to get girls or guys' phone numbers, you know, whatever side of the fence you're on, use their power to kind of manipulate getting results they want. You see a lot of weird stuff, you know, with power comes a, it, with power exposes, your weaknesses and your true character and sometimes your true intentions without realizing. So kind of staying on track here, there's a lot of things we kind of sacrifice for an income. And you know what? Sometimes that shut your fucking mouth, you're at work type of shit, you know? You see some things, like you see like someone getting improperly treated, right? In terms of you and a peer can make the same mistake, but the way they're more comfortable being verbally attacking or being verbally abrasive, putting them on the spot in front of people, they're a lot more secondhand without even thinking about it. They will do it to them because they can be easier target, whether that's a physical intimidation, which is a real thing. I can speak from experience. When you have a physical presence, people are very careful. Even if you are more nicer, you have never really raised your voice, you're one of the more calmer people. In my experience, people are much more likely to go after someone that they feel they could kind of bully. That's just the honest truth about it. Like, people think bullying stops when you're younger. No, bullying and in the verbal sense exists almost, I would say, even more in workplaces, but it is much more hidden behind the "we got a job to do." So whatever we got to do to get the job done, X, Y, and Z. But staying on track here, I know I'm going off the rails here, but the point is sometimes we will rationalize certain things that we don't morally support. We don't necessarily condone it, and maybe we address it in some way, but not as abrasive we would in our everyday life, where we wouldn't have to worry about the repercussions of shit. That's the unfortunate world we live in. So kind of going back to, if you're a fitness influencer, your job is to be fit all the time. You know, you're getting critiqued of, oh, you've looked the same for 3 years. Oh, you've never put on size, this and that and the other. But you want to, blah, blah, blah. And so you feel that pressure and you see engagement go down. Maybe views are going down. The things are kind of stagnant. So you feel like the only way I'm going to keep up in this competitive is either looking astronomically different or starting doing things that are more attention seeking. So, you know, typically people resort to pretty, you know, things they say they would never do. So, yeah, I don't know. That's all I got to say about that. Keep the needle moving. I flipped over like a time glass. What was it? I flipped over like an hourglass just to feel time go by. I don't think that's it. Hopefully she doesn't have sandy pussy. squirrel. Oh. Is that why SpongeBob lives in a pineapple under the sea? For that very, very good spongy semen. That's weird to say like that. Maybe SpongeBob is a representation of sweet semen. Patrick is a porn star. And then, but yeah, you know, that's how it'd be. And then Sandy is really a version of a squirrel nutting because of SpongeBob being a pineapple. So he has sweet semen. And then Sandy is the nut because she's always looking for a nut. And Patrick is the porn star producing it. And then she smells like plankton. But yeah, it feels like when you're watching the first time you ever start looking at questionable things online as a whippersnapper, you come across those animated adult videos where it's like your cartoon heroes. Like, I remember I came across one like Foster's Home of Imaginary Friends. Well, it was kind of telling something because of Will. you know, Will is notorious for sleeping with over 20,000 women, which is weird. They will model a kid's show upon Will. Well, that's why he's the leading scorer of all time, if you know what I'm saying. But, you know, you come across those, the typical cartoon ones. I think I even came across one that was like the Wild Thornberries, which I don't know who would look up her to, you know, not there's anything wrong with her, you know, whatever your type is. But it's not something I'd go out of my way, even if I was in the anime, you know. Eat the cake like anime. But yeah, so apparently J. Cole dropped more songs from the Forest Hills album. I don't know what the point of it is. It's weird because a lot of people are complaining that they put out, it was like songs that didn't make the record, but were close to it, like unreleased songs. And now they're releasing it for deluxe or platinum purposes. Really, it's just a way to consistently make income without having to make new music for us. So they kind of sell us scraps that they admit that, hey, this didn't make the album. So here it is. Make some money for us. And I haven't listened to the song, but people's big issue is it was kind of like with some comedians did with their specials, like Andrew Schultz, where they sold the songs where you had to buy it digitally. Like, hey, if you don't buy this, you're never going to listen to it, even though nowadays all it takes is one person to buy it, and then they're going to post on the internet for everyone. So I don't really understand what's the point. And I, you know, I hate when artists say, you know, you pirating our music is showing that you're not a real fan. You need to buy our music individually. It's like, well, then you need to buy our overpriced tickets. you know, you need to make your... I just find that shit stupid. You know, look, I'm all about, you know, getting your money's worth and all that, but that is not a me problem. That is a you problem. That is a business model that has exposed that you've been overcharging for a lot of trash-ass music for the longest time. And I'm not going to pay for songs that you admittedly say, I wouldn't put this on an album of mine, but you want me to pay separately for a 4-pack or 5-pack of songs for songs that you say aren't even that good. So fuck off. Not you, J. Cole, but it's just the overall music aspect of it, you know. Remember, like, albums used to be like $16 or $17, you know, and you want me to, in today's market where I could basically, you know, you could pay me to listen to songs now, and you want me to pay $8 for a song that's a, you playing a piano for a minute and a half and it's an interlude? Like, fuck off. People just be selling people bullshit. They be buying it. Because, really, when you think about what strong fandom is, like, obsessive fandom, like, when artists, like, want that, oh, I love my fans, oh my god, you guys are so amazing, they don't give a single fuck about you. They think you're pathetic, you know? You're under their... And, you know, you go to these concerts, and obviously there's a lot of demonic influence with some, and sometimes it's pretty obvious where, without even realizing, apparently you could be in an elusive, you could be in a very hypnotized state without even realizing it. And it's really a way that you have such a personal attachment to someone that has never said a word to you in their life. But they make this commercialized electronic music that lyrics they didn't even write. But what they're really selling is their bodies to you. Like, I can't remember the last time I've seen a girl fully clothed, you know, on stage. Didn't happen to any. Even like these girls that are looking like 14 years old. Like, if you really break down what you're seeing, a lot of these female pop artists, you know, they look like the Sabrina Carpenter girl. She looks 14. But I think she's like literally like 25 or 26. But it's so weird because they make her look, and it's on purpose. You can definitely tell. Like, they put all the extra blushy makeup. Like, you could see her Kiss tattoo on her upper thigh because she points to it and put it on her album. And, but I gotta say, it's not bad. The music. But I couldn't imagine going to a concert and watching her do all this stuff and being comfortable with it. Like, regardless, even if you know someone's age, like, sometimes when someone looks way younger than the stuff they're doing, like, that should trigger something. Like, something's off here. But, you know, I don't know. Move. I gotta say, the Indiana Pacers, they always play on Sunday. No matter what. 6 o'clock on Sunday. If I could, you know, I think I have one dream. Well, not dream. I have one random ass adventure goal, I call it. I want to visit every NBA, NFL. College football might be a little bit too much. So we'll just stick with the NBA and NFL. I want to visit every single stadium before I'm 37. And I want to see, like, when you're so used to a certain type of fandom of going to events, I want to see if it really is different or if the energy is the same all around, you know? Obviously, you're going to get drunk people everywhere. You're going to get overpriced parking. You're going to get people that are obsessed with things, dressed up in things that, you know, would you be proud if your son was dressed in that? Probably not. But, you know, he's hanging out with his buds. It's a crazy thing us guys do, how we rationalize hanging out with the bros. Like, whatever we got to do, dress up in some type of antifreeze. So, wait, if you spray antifreeze on your body, but you're in 0 degrees, will you actually not freeze? I don't think that's how that works. But someone should try it. Talk about bathing. I don't know. Would your body break out? Would you burn? Burn, baby, burn. But, you know, that's what real community is about. You know? The desperate measures we go to just as guys to be like, I want to hang out with my friend today. You know, we dress up in spikes. Sometimes wear lady clothing. And we all, if we just say we're all dressing the same, it's because we're just having a good time, you know? It's amazing what us guys are really just people of all a similar, whether it's religion, ethnicity, or group type of beliefs, the things that we all do to just make time for each other, to feel part of a community. It does go a long way. Until HOA wants to fuck it up. HOA stands for Hose Over Anatomy. you know, I think a great idea, whatever you despise the most, whatever job, whatever type of people you despise the most, the ones that you just like, you hear the name, you hear the job title, and you just automatically want to just choke the living shit out of that person. So a lot of people hate HOA, for example. And I think it should be like a requirement where like, we should, like, it should be like a community program. It could be a way to maybe build appreciation towards the things that you have a perspective on that you hate because of what it causes to you or the inconvenience or whatever. And I think there should be like programs where like you can, where they fund the time you're off from a job and you get the, and you have to do these jobs. Consider like jury duty, except you have to actually work a type of job that you admittedly despise. And the point of it is at the very least to at least have an understanding maybe why people have to do what they do. Realize that it's not the people that suck. It's just a job. It's a situation that comes with it. Like if your car is always being repoed, right? You should have to be a repo man and realize how annoying it is that you could go to, that you gotta go to people's houses because they don't want to pay their shit on time. Like, I don't want to do this. You know, but if I don't do this, you know, well, I'm going to, you know, this is serious business here. They're legally going to come after us for not doing our job. So when you were getting the 18 warning calls over 9 months to, hey, what's going on with your Toyota Tacoma? You know, maybe you should answer, be like, hey, can we work something out? May have saved all these issues. But we, you know, it should almost be a requirement, like, that you have to do these jobs. At the very least, to show appreciation. It's almost kind of like when they would do a, not wife swap. Because, I mean, you know, sometimes during wife swap or husband swap, they would swap, you know, for a month or something, live in someone else's house and all that shit. And they would have an appreciation for their actual partner. Because they're like, man, you know, these people are dirty, you know. Man, they don't even use electricity. like, husband ain't shit, you know. And the point of it was, you live a completely different part of life. So, you appreciate the stuff that you have, but also appreciate the situation you have at home. But also, maybe take things away from another point of view. So you can apply that to your benefit, and it's kind of, it helps everyone around, you know? You can always learn something from something. So if you're one, so if you hate HOA, have, ask them if they have a voluntary program, like, I want to be an HOA director for a day, or for a month. Just see what it's like. I think we should have these, like, programs and stuff where these programs fund you to be able to do these other things that will actually expand your understanding and appreciation for people that do these jobs that people hate when they hear it. And if, especially if you have constant issues running into certain companies or certain positions, it's like, it should be almost mandatory. It should be judge ordered. You know, as part of your community service, you're working for HOA. And you can deal with people that, you know, don't want to mow their grass twice a week, you know? You'll start realizing, you'll start having that HOA mindset, like, these disgusting fucks using law, using Scott's turf, this fucking guy, not understand the pesticides under the policy 311, don't worry, that's coming out of his mortgage, the $1,800 a month went straight up to 24, pal. It is crazy, though, these systems where you can live in a neighborhood, you could buy a house, paying a monthly payment for the mortgage, paying monthly for insurance, paying monthly, probably like, you're putting like 68% of your income just into the house a month. Whether it's paying off a house or fixing, repairing, keeping it up to date, just keeping it decent. And then your neighborhood or your company that owns your house in a weird way is like, hey, you know, I know you spend 68% of your income, but I'm gonna have to find you. You know, your gutters are a little old. We asked you to change it last year. It's about 3 months past. So every month you don't do it, it's a $300 fine. You're like, you know what? I'm just gonna take the gutter out and let the leaves fall. Not my problem, you know? But that's great. It's like, hey, I know you're paying all this for the house, but I'm going to have to find you another $300. You're like, all right, you know, fuck me. Hey, I know you and the wife are going through some hard times, you know, your kid having, you know, a panic attack and paralegic, losing his leg and stuff, but, you know, your paint's a little chipped on the left side of your house, you know? Like, oh yeah, thanks, Scott. Let me just, I'm already $4,000 and over my, what I have in my bank account this month, but sure, $400. You know, actually, you know what? I'll just hire a whole paint service. I had $2,000. Hey, that would be great, man. I appreciate you understanding. Like, no problem, Scott. Fuck you too, you know? Imagine that. But imagine being on the other side of that, knowing that you have a job to do and you got to get these people to get their house in order, regardless of their current situation. Because it's all about the presentation of the bigger community guidelines and shit. And you're just like, yeah, nothing says community more than being singled out and having to do this shit all by myself. It's weird about these communities that are driven off, quote-unquote, community effort, community work. But it feels like everyone does their own isolated work to make a community look more together, but they never actually spend time together. Because rural communities don't need a third party to set up events for them to spend time together, you know? That's all I, you know, I always admire when you go to neighborhoods and they have a neighborhood yard sale. And it is a neighborhood that doesn't even have, like, the name of the neighborhood, you know, at the front. It's just, you enter a street, it's a bunch of random houses. Some people's houses look nicer, some people look kept together, you know? It's not a consistent everything. Every house looks the same. It's a lot of variation. Been through the winter. You enter through these communities and then they'll have these like public yard sales. Whereas like everyone gets together. These couple houses puts all their stuff here. And they all take care of each other, you know. What I don't need, I may have a neighbor. And it's a nicer way of being like, hey, instead of going up to person to people that are obviously financially struggling, you put it out there and everyone gets together, spends time together. That's how you build community, you know. You have, like, public events, you know. You invite, you know, at least nearby neighbors, you know, on the weekends or here and there. You invite kids over to your house, even if your kid's a piece of, you know, piece of work. But, you know, that's really what you, if you need an HOA director, if you need these third-party directors to make people come together when you all, when all your houses look the fucking same anyways, you know. I mean, you know, I don't really feel like that's a real community. So, yeah. I think I'm going to end it there. But, yeah. That was episode 313 of the Alpha B Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah. Even if it's Sandy's. I don't know. Do squirrels have tits? Oh, she's in an astronaut suit anyways. She's going to need some oxygen. Channel. Oh, Jesus. Why would they call it the oxygen channel? I really don't know. Is it because they show a bunch of killer shows and everyone struggles to breathe? I don't know. Oxycontin. But yeah. All right. Have a great day, morning, night, evening. Meep, meep. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my glutes.